This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and today we're talking about some of the unseen factors that change our experiences and lives. What helps us make healthy choices when it comes to diet and nutrition? Is it access to fruits and vegetables, taxing soda, better information? As part of the quest to find answers to this billion-dollar question, food labels are getting a makeover by July 2018. The changes involve how the calories are displayed, serving sizes, and added sugar. Health advocates say the changes will allow shoppers to make better decisions. And joining us now to talk more is Brian Wansink. He is director of the Cornell Food and Brand Lab at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Well, it's great being with you today.
You've spent a lot of your career looking at the impact of design on our waistline. So what do you make of this new food label?
Well, there's a lot of really good aspects for the label. And one of the things that make it better is the readability, and particularly the readability that comes from having much larger calorie fonts. Calories are very visible. But the second thing that it does is it also sort of makes the label a little less crowded by eliminating things like vitamin A and vitamin C. So from a readability standpoint, it's actually improved a little bit. I am concerned, though, about some other aspects and how it might influence behavior.
What do you mean?
Well, one thing that it's done is it's changed the serving size of certain items. So to put instead of what manufacturers have usually considered a serving size, they've made the serving sizes bigger so that it reflected what people usually eat, like a bigger cereal size or bigger serving of ice cream, things like this. But my concern there is that what it does is it raises the norms of what people think is appropriate to eat. So that might be good for somebody who typically would eat a half bowl of cereal, but I'm afraid what it does to the person who usually would just eat a small amount of cereal or a small amount of ice cream, now they say, wait a minute, this is abnormal for me to be eating so little. I need to eat more. That's what it says. And that's my biggest fear.
Brian, they've also changed how sugars are listed. We can now see added sugars. How do you think that will impact consumers' buying choices?
You know, I think there's a lot of good aspects of having done that. But in general, I think it's very few people who look at a label in that level of detail. And I see people in three ways. I see them as nutrition vigilant people who are very concerned with diet and health. On the other end, there's nutrition disinterested people who really just don't care. And in the middle, there's people who are nutrition predisposed. They're a little bit interested, but only if you make it really easy for them. The only people this is going to influence are the people who I think don't need to be influenced. And those are the people who are hypervigilant and really pretty much know a lot of this anyway.
And does information help us get skinny? You talked about a lot of people don't look at labels, don't care about labels. I mean, I know what it takes to lose 20 pounds, and I still haven't lost those 20 pounds. So what helps us make better choices?
Well, people who are very, very attuned and very interested in labels will go and look at the details. But the majority of people actually look at the front of a pack. They might look at one or two of the things in the back, and they make a decision based on one product in a category versus another product. Okay, so for instance, they say, you know, I'm going to buy a granola bar. So they'll compare one brand of granola bar to the other. And if they're interested in calories, they might say, oh, this one has 240 calories, but this other one has 225. I'll take the one with 225. But what they don't do is compare the granola bar with the banana, okay? Because they're essentially looking or shopping what's called within category and not between categories.
So is the design tweak that has to happen perhaps much more related to where food is placed and what we have access to?
You know, that's the three biggest things that influence us. It's the availability, the affordability, and essentially the attractiveness of food. And that's what needs to happen. But the good thing is we're seeing a lot of that happen in grocery stores right now, because the healthier foods tend to be also the foods that have the highest margin for grocers. A grocer makes a lot more money selling apples than Apple Jacks, because apples, if they go bad, they've lost that investment, whereas breakfast cereal lasts forever almost. And what we see now is retailers being much more conscious about where they place foods, how they sequence them in grocery stores so that people buy a higher percentage of produce. And usually it's a little bit at the expense of ready-to-eat foods.
Brian, thank you so much.
It's great being with you. Thank you.
Brian Wansink of Cornell University, his book is Slim by Design, Mindless Eating Solutions for Everyday Life.